Numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning. Tune is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland live from Baracana. Here at the D.
What's up, buddy?
Downtown Las Vegas. How you doing? First of all, shout out to JVT.
Yeah.
Filled in yesterday. The great Jonathan Montoble. You two should do a podcast together.
That's a great idea. It's like something that we've thought of before or something. Who knows?
Okay. Yeah. Let's throw that up the flagpole.
How'd your civic duty go yesterday? Said duty.
You know, Kelly, maybe people like you and people of your ilk. Maybe you find the dereliction of your duty to be something that you take pride in and thumb your nose at our great country.
Yeah.
Not me. I take great pride in performing my civic duty and giving back to this nation that has given me so much. I enjoyed my 6.5 hours yesterday. Can't even get through it. In the courthouse where I was not deemed an ideal juror, apparently, and I was let out of jury duty as a prospective juror. I did not make the cut.
I'm sorry.
But I take great pride, once again, in having performed this great, great responsibility that I feel like people like you and people of your generation should really take a little more seriously.
Once again, Gil takes pride in getting cut from a team.
That was me extending. My buddy Tommy does this thing where he like over exaggerates simple life tasks. Like we sit in like an exit row in an airplane. He's like, Gilly, maybe you want to make small talk. I'd like to review our responsibilities. And he stays in this character until the flight goes off. I'm like, oh, God.
But you bust out the pamphlet. Like, I have some reading to do before this flight takes off.
Oh, man. I did not make it, Kelly. Thank you, Isaiah, for the music. I didn't make it. I don't want to get into the details. But people had jokes on Twitter. Would you like to hear the jokes about why?
Sure.
Rub.
First of all, I was dying Can I tell what happened post show after the show yesterday?
Please, what happened?
I'm sitting here working. I'm getting a couple things done. It's probably about a half hour after the show. Dustin Sweetelson, who produces Sharp Money, shows up early that day. And he walks up, and we're kind of chatting for a couple minutes. He's like, yeah, I just saw Gil downstairs. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Gil's off today. No, you didn't. He's like, yeah, he was just at McDonald's. I'm like, No. He's got jury duty. I didn't even think about like the courthouse is right down the
three blocks away. I just valeted like I do every morning.
And then I go to leave, and your car's parked right next to mine. Uh-huh. I'm like, okay. So, yeah, Gil literally did his same routine and then just walked down the street to go do jury duty.
Ryan Hyatt, the elaborate cover story of jury duty that VSiN has concocted to cover the obvious suspension of Gil for his badgering of Pete Futak over college football playoff is impressive. Good job, guys. By the way, Futak is still on Twitter arguing with people about the college football playoff, and he's gotten to the capital letters stage of his arguments.
Oh, boy.
Pete, it's over. You win. FSU's not playing. Touchdown Jesus. Hopefully today marked the first time in U.S. legal history that I have to host the Megapod got anyone out of jury duty. That's exactly what happened. I said Judge Schwartz, and that was her name. I host a little something called the Megapod. Perhaps you could let me off of this. And she said, is that the one where the renounced Jew sings college and pro fight songs? I go, yes, it is.
I was going to say, just...
Why, yes, it is. You're familiar with her.
Just
artwork.
Pop up some of Todd ranting about some things. I might have gotten you off that, yeah.
She's like, you're out of here. And I gritted my way out of the courtroom in front of everybody. By the way, you know you have to, like, hold a mic and, like, talk in front of everybody and say, like, give, you know.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And there's, like, you know, it's tens and tens of people in there.
Well, what do you mean? I'm fascinated by this. Like,
Nate Green, I think that this is, he's quoting me how I got out. He goes, quote, I think that the fakakta legal system in the U.S. is mishugana. Gil getting out of jury duty. That's what I did. It's like the George. My name is George. I'm unemployed, and I live with my parents.
All right, wait.
I did that with
a
joke.
I want to actually know. So you had to hang around for a while. Then you went to lunch, and you were texting me when you went to lunch because you were upset because you had to take forever.
55 breaks in the day.
Right, okay. So you come back in, and you finally go into a courtroom?
It starts out, you're in this massive pool of people.
Hanging with
they show you a 10-minute video of what it's like, what you can expect today being a juror. Then you sit, and then they immediately they're like, well, take a break. That was the first break. And I'm like, we're taking a break.
We haven't even done anything yet.
I just digested my hash browns. So then they come back. 25 minutes after they said they would, and they haul us to another room. And then in that room, they finally put us in a single file line, and then we go into a courtroom. But by this time, it's like almost lunch. And the judge, we get into the courtroom, and there's about, I don't know, I'm not good at counting, but like 50 jurors, prospective jurors in there, maybe 60. And the judge then has to go through procedure. Is there anybody who has a, you know, has a vacation plan? Is there anybody who has a doctor's appointment they can't get out of? And, you know, that takes every single person that raises their hand. That takes forever, and it gets to lunchtime. By this time, you're already in the afternoon. Before you even get to, and then she tells you what the case is about. And mine happened to be a serious case about, you know, about sex trafficking. And so it was, you know, it's a serious matter. And so, but you don't get to the point of why you know, the point of can you be impartial? And you don't get to that. We didn't get to it until like after 2 o'clock. So.
Wow. And then at that point, you're just up there and you're getting questioned by both the attorneys, right? Of whether you'd qualify or not, right?
I didn't even get to the attorney stage. Okay, okay. I was dismissed by the judge. Okay. I really wouldn't like to talk about it. I'll just go through more tweets on it. Christopher Lubesnick. Rumor is that the judge excused the esteemed Mr. Alexander during the lunch break when young Gil recommended the spot for sushi. Exactly what I did. I was like, Judge Schwartz, I could be a juror, but would you like to hear the sushi spot?
We did.
So here, I would like to make one serious recommendation to the American legal system, though, before we get on to actual sports betting. It does have one big flaw. Besides the sitting and
listen
waiting.
Up Supreme Court.
Because, by the way, when you get to the point where you actually then do have to give, here's who I am, here's what I've done, here's what I do, here's why I might be impartial, here's why I would be partial, whatever. By that point, there's still 40 people in the room, and you go one by one. I was the second to last person, so I just sit there like, oh, my God. Okay. So, anyway, well, civic duty. Forgive me. Civic duty. Meanwhile, it was originally scheduled for guessing lines in September, and I pushed it back to December. Like, I love this duty, but I can't do it during guessing lines. So my one thing with the legal system is this. Probably separate the prospective jurors from the defendants when we return from breaks. Because there's a huge atrium on the bottom floor of this building.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And everybody's together. So you're like, you know, if I'm going to the bathroom, passing by the girl, it was a guy and a girl, she's on her phone as I'm re-entering and as other jurors are re-entering, prospective jurors, and she is as loud as possibly in an atrium that echoes going, oh, that, he got out, his case got dismissed, ain't no way, I'm doing, and so it's in my head, by the way, you like it? You got what I got?
I got it.
So
yeah.
In my head, I'm thinking, I could go in the courtroom right now and say, like, what do you Gen X people say? You get triggered by stuff like that. I could have done that. Or I could have gone the other way and said, her passion was really persuasive. I'm on her side. Like, I could have done either of those, right?
Yeah,
anybody
yeah.
could have. So anyway, that's my suggestion to the American legal system.
That is a good point. It's a little odd that those two groups of people are able to have a conversation to be in the same area.
It's a fascinating experience. I think everybody should do it once, Kelly. And by once, I mean once. Just once. By the way, James Ingram, great song, Just Once. That one might be what it was about. There's a football game tonight, everybody.
There is.
5-8 Chargers, 5-8 Raiders. By the way, on the show today, Bill Krakenberger joins us, and Joe Pita is about to join us to talk about this Survivor mission, guys, where 13 are left, and I believe I ran into one. I believe I nailed this 2 days ago on the show, Kelly, where I said, hey, I know all you think this chop's going to be easy. It's an underdog. It ain't happening. It ain't happening because there was, in fact, one who had his own agenda on this. We'll get into that with Joe. We'll get his reaction to that. And then we'll get into, and this is just a warning, it's a PSA. There will be math on today's show. I know how much you love that, Kelly, when there's math on the show.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be mathematics. There's going to be a little division. There's going to be a little multiplication for those who are, because every once in a while we get questions about hedging. And Circus Survivor gives us an opportunity to get a Wall Street guy like Joe in here to talk about the optimal way to hedge such a thing. We'll have a back and forth about that after we get his reaction to this. And again, there was supposed to be after one person decided not to chop, there was going to be a sub-chop of remaining entries. That fell through as well. So they're just playing it through at this point.
How is that even going to work? Basically, if one of us wins it, this is how we're going to handle it?
Well, they could have boxed the other dude out and made sure he couldn't win the whole pot, right? Because they would have had like 12 different picks or something.
Yeah, yeah, good point. Yeah, that would get up.
We usually come in here Thursday morning, and even if I don't have a bet on a game, I have something to say about the game, maybe something to think about, maybe an angle, that kind of thing. Kelly, I can honestly say this game tonight between the Chargers and the Raiders, I got nothing. Raiders favored by 3. The total is 34.5. It's Easton Stick for the Chargers. He'll be their quarterback the remainder of the year as long as he remains healthy. Justin Herbert out for the season. Against Aiden O'Connell and the Raiders, there was some buzz in the Raiders camp that it wasn't going to be Aiden O'Connell, that maybe they'd go back to Jimmy G, but it looks like it will be O'Connell. The problem is this. We're at the point in both of these teams' seasons. They're both 5-8. They're both, let's face it, only mathematically alive. Yeah. They're really donezo. Keenan Allen's out tonight. I can't imagine you want to give Austin Eckler a full load. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but it's like at this point, what are you playing for? So maybe it's an Easton Stick run fest. He was a good quarterback at North Dakota State with his feet. And then on the Raiders side, a lot of players questionable. Josh Jacobs, Devontae Adams, Max Crosby, Colton Miller, their left tackle. If he's out, the backup's got to go against Khalil Mack. There's too many moving parts. There's too many players. We don't know if they're playing or not.
Yeah, this feels like hardwood handicappers every day with NBA injury reports where it's really hard to make a suggestion one way or the other when guys like, we don't know like guys like Devontae Adams, whether they're playing tonight because he has an illness now apparently.
Yes,
I still think under's the only way I could look on this game. This is just gross, gross football. I mean, the Chargers are waving the white flag of the season, so bet that accordingly.
Yeah. Joe Pita on Survivor. 13 players left. How would he monetize this the rest of the way? That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Why don't you? Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada here at the D. Circus Survivor, as you may be aware, from an original 9,267 entries, each at $1,000 a pop, it is down to 13. 13 after the carnage of the last few weeks. And the intrinsic value of each headed into this coming week, $712,846.15. That's a theoretical, right? Because not all remaining entries are created equal in terms of what teams they have left. And I, you know, a lot of people were saying, oh, it's easy. It's 13 people. It's a chop. And I even gave an example on Monday of when I was talking to Kelly here on a numbers game, not Monday, Tuesday, pardon me, 2 days ago, where I said, hey, what if you, you know, if the 13 people chopped it up 13 different ways, each, they said, we'll all take $500,000. We'll play for the remaining 2.7. And I said, I go, that sounds great, right? Kelly said, sure, it sounds wonderful. I go, but here's the deal. There's always one person who won't agree to this because of any number of reasons. One, they feel that they're just a better Survivor player than you. Two, they feel that their remaining teams on their entry are superior to the rest. Three, they love the dream of the $9.267 million. They can't separate that from strategy. And then the fourth, maybe there's an entry where, you know, it's comprised of eight people to begin with. Well, a $500,000 chop doesn't sound so good to them. By the way, there's other ones that that I didn't bring up. Spanky pointed out, we'll read Spanky's later when Crack is here, but Spanky pointed out maybe just some people have more of gamble in them than others. And then there's what Crack has said for many, many months now, which is also, you don't know these other people. There's the legality of a chop that, you know, let's say you agree to a chop and then the person who wins it is like, I don't know you people.
Yeah.
I never agreed to anything. So there's all of that stuff.
And way easier to figure that stuff out with 3, 4, 5 people than 100%. This number of people.
Well, so just to let you know, the people over at SurvivorAtlas.com, they did an actual evaluation. I don't know the quite exactly the basis of this, but they evaluated the remaining entries, the remaining 13, and they assigned values to each of them. Circus Master, whoever that entry is, considered the power ranked number one, if you will, at this point, all the way down to Peos there at the bottom. The entry that was the holdout was Golden Boy. Golden Boy has identified himself as a, we know him to be a poker player, and essentially his, can we show the tweet from him, and we'll get to Joe after this, because this is, he came out, his name is Sean Perry. Sean doesn't, you know, we've seen some old tweets about Sean from other poker players that weren't particularly flattering, but it's Twitter, who knows. But Sean himself wrote this, this is in his own words, "I am in fact Golden Boy, however I am confident in plays, so I am not interested in chopping. I'm the greatest bettor ever." He's got to be trolling everybody. Good luck to everyone, hope to see you all at the finish line. And then there, again, I mentioned this before the break, the others were pondering a chop amongst themselves. That at this moment has fallen through, so there is no chop agreed to at all. We bring in, ladies and gentlemen, a man whose brain is bigger than all of ours combined. He's a Stanford MBA graduate who made his hay in his career on Wall Street, of course, is the author of Trading Bases, Moneyball for the Money Set, and of course the 2019 Masters preview in between. It's the great Joe Pita. How you doing, Joe?
Gil, good morning. And this is the third year in a row we're doing this. I consider this our civic duty to, you know, potential hedgers in Survivor.
Yes. And before we get into that, because we'll talk about the definition of a hedge and we'll go from there, we'll give the real examples of this particular Survivor group. What do you make of this? I talked about it on Tuesday. I'm like, a chop is a dog. And sure enough, a chop ain't happening, at least at this point. What do you make of a person like that in the end who takes that position?
You know, I don't think you can tell anyone how to handle their own capital. So I will say this, I'd put my personal thing in there. I would always chop for, say, $100,000 each, regardless of whether I thought my entry was good or not, you know, or better or worse. That would be easy for me. 12 people left. Okay, we're playing for $8 million. Everybody walks away with $100,000. That to me just, that makes $100,000 some certain. And even if I have the opportunity to hedge or even if I have the advantage, there are transaction costs to all that stuff. And to me, you know, I would do that unquestionably. Spanky's tweet this morning didn't make a lot of sense to me. Not that he went chop, that's fine if, you know, you got gamble in him, but one of his reason was that by knowing other people want to chop, he's got a psychological advantage over them. And this isn't poker. As one, I thought, respondent quite logically said, oh no, a professional gambler won't chop with me. I'm so nervous, I ended up choosing the Jets this weekend instead of Miami. So now I get Spanky's point. Spanky's point is in normal games of chance, if somebody is desperate for a chop, you do have an edge over them. So the way you would exploit that is not by not chopping or not by thinking that, okay, they're going to play poorly going forward. The way you would do that is you would individually reach out to them and say, I'll buy 15% of your entry for 10% of the intrinsic value. Like, that's how you capture somebody's need to take out a certain amount of money, right? You make them overpay for insurance. So I thought that. And then, Gil, I have one other thought that this is going to surprise you because I did this overnight. You just put those power rankings up there. I'm not going to dispute the calculation. I know Unabated has something going too. And I'm sure that they're just using look-ahead lines, right, and most logical pick. And this is the, you know, it's ranked by people that have the highest money line or the best chance to get through 20 weeks. That is not how I would power rank those teams. I'm going to say, let's talk about this next week, because this goes to sort of our thought experiments from last or 2 years ago with Jeff, when you know, I have credibility here because I walked the walk. When I took Las Vegas on Thanksgiving 2 years ago, even though I still had Dallas left, because my philosophy is up until Thanksgiving, this is a handicapping contest. from Thanksgiving on, to me, it becomes an expected value contest. And I am no longer trying to make picks that give me the best chance to get through 20 weeks. I am making picks that have the most expected value.
Yes.
And that is also because there's hedging available. And I would say that I look at that list, and to me, there are, well, here's why I don't want to go into the details. It's the Heisenberg principle. I think we know Heisenberg from Breaking Bad, but the Heisenberg principle, I believe, says that which gets observed gets changed. And I don't want to get in anybody's head until next week. Let's see what happens going into next week. But I would say I think there are three entries that are heads and shoulders above the others, and they are not the three that are listed at the top. Oh, and then finally, Golden Boy. You know, the tweet is funny. The confidence is funny. I don't know if, like you made a Seinfeld reference earlier in the show with Kelly.
Yeah.
But Golden Boy, I don't know if you remember, that was a Seinfeld reference. I don't know if that's why that is handled. But Golden Boy was the shirt that Jerry always took out of the laundry first. And I will say, for as funny as that tweet is, and he may be sly as a fox, because and again, this might be something to talk about next week. I can certainly see a reason why he would be inclined not to chop. But let's see what happens this weekend, and we can, you know, maybe talk about that next week.
Yeah, it's one of the things that you said there I just want to seize on, which is, you know, it's a handicapping contest for a while. Then in your mind, it shifts to an expected value contest. I don't want to, you know, characterize Spanky. Spanky went through a whole thing, which is perfectly valid from his perspective. He almost, from his perspective, it shifts into a poker game right at that point. So there's so many different ways. That's why this is the greatest contest ever, because there's so many tentacles to it in this regard. And so I want to get into, after the break, we'll keep you one segment here over. I want to get into what defines a hedge. Now, how do you monetize? What is the optimal way to monetize this? And this is, honestly, I think for people who are interested in being survivor contests in the future and who hope to be in this position, this is a pencil and paper kind of segment to come out. And we'll try to go through it as clearly as we can. And I'll have some questions for you, Joe. I'll have a little pushback on one or two. Not pushback. Well, maybe pushback on one thing. And I'm curious if only someone of your pedigree would have been able to come up with this. We'll get into all of that. Joe Pita joins us. By the way, you can follow Joe on Twitter at MagicRatSF. His little tribute to Bruce Springsteen, one of his musical favorites. Coming back, Circus Survivor Talk right here, a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we got to take a break. Talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches, they're already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. If you're a smoker, dipper, looking to ditch the ashtray or spit cup, look no further than Zyn. Zyn's made with six simple ingredients and is available in a wide range of varieties, including spearmint, citrus, and even coffee. And it's available in two strengths, so you can control your nicotine satisfaction. Because it's discreet, you can enjoy it anywhere, anytime, so you never have to miss a moment of the game. Plus, every can of Zyn earns you points towards premium items like tailgating gear, top-of-the-line tech, Zyn swag, and even gift cards. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's the Numbers Game, live from Bar Canada at the D. Joe Pita, author, Wall Street veteran, kind enough to join us to talk Survivor for third or fourth consecutive year on how to properly monetize, if you're still alive, how to do this. Now, let's just start here, Joe, with the definition of a hedge. And let's throw that on for those who are watching at VSiN.com or on the VSiN app or at YouTube TV or on the DK Network. You can see the definition of a hedge is something that must lower your ceiling and raise your floor. If it does not do both, it's just another bet. I want to ask you about this second bullet point. There is one perfect hedge, you say, selling a portion of your entry for its intrinsic value. That truly is the perfect hedge, if you can do it that way, right? But it's never going to be at its exact intrinsic value, right? There's going to be a negotiation in that as well. So if someone says, I'll buy it for you at 80 cents on the dollar, still a better way to do this than others?
That's a pretty steep discount, but, you know, remember, it's an insurance policy, right? You're insuring yourself a portion of the pot if you do that. And insurance, you know, insurance companies make money, right? So you pay something to get that insurance. It would be awesome if you can find someone that would say, yeah, I just want action and I'll pay, you know, $70,000 for 10% of your entry. That's awesome. And, you're done for that amount. And so, yeah, you have to decide if the discount is worth the amount of insurance you're buying.
Okay. Absent selling a share, you can create a synthetic hedge, as you said, but it takes access to capital or credit. That is a huge point in all of this, isn't it?
Yes, it sure is. This isn't free, but if you have access to capital, you can, or credit, you can absolutely synthetically monetize the amount that you are trying to, that you want to take away. Here's an example from last week. If you were trying to monetize $40,000 of your entry, or about 10% of what it was worth, it was quite, you know, it was easy to do. But it probably took about $75,000 of capital to ensure that you could do it.
Okay, finishing the hedge 101 portion of this before we get into a specific detail. This is really about being long on your position and short on everybody else's. That's really what we're talking about here, correct?
That's right. It's, Gil, everybody always says, like I heard somebody say last week who had Green Bay, you know, what was I going to do? Bet $40,000, and if that loses $80,000 the next week? And what they've got there is they've got half of the equation correct. Yes, if you were trying to extract $40,000, you would have bet against your long, which was the Packers. You would have bet the Giants money line to win $40,000. Now, that would have taken about $20,000, right? Because I think they were plus 200. The question is, that's only half the equation, and you can come up with that $20,000 to bet by betting on all the other picks that your opponents have, because each of those has the ability to change your intrinsic value. So you essentially put together a portfolio, you want to get long your opponent's picks, short your pick. And, you know, if everybody had exactly the same money lines, it would all net to zero minus the, you know, small, you know, spread. But that's how you do it.
Okay. Let's get to executing the hedge there. I'll let you take the example from last week, or if you want to do a more hypothetical one first, it's up to you. I'll let you take it from there.
Let's do last week, and let's stick with the Packers, that because they were playing Monday night, which has you at an advantage in that you are a standalone game absent the one other pick that was on the Dolphins. So on Sunday, what you would have done was you would have bet on all the teams, and you would have made money line bets on all the teams that your opponents had taken. And the math that you have to do to figure out is say, hey, if the Ravens lose, how much does my intrinsic value go up? And you've decided to try to monetize 10% of your entry, right? That was the $40,000. So you say, okay, if the Ravens lose and my intrinsic value goes up, you know, $150,000, I need to wager $15,000 on the Ravens money line. And you would have done that for the Lions game. You would have done that for the one person had the Saints, I think a couple of people had the Saints, one person had the Vikings. You would have done that for all those games. And actually then going into Monday night, you would have had enough money to place your bet on the Packers without taking any more money out of your pocket.
So
you would have bet on the Giants on Monday night, excuse me.
By the way, someone with your background is the person that would have thought of this, Joe, and someone of your specific pedigree. Do you think the average person would have thought to do this?
Well, they certainly think of the first. He always thinks, I'll just bet against the team I'm taking. What they don't think is, what they kind of forget is, okay, what I'm doing there is, in case I lose and my intrinsic value goes to zero, I'm trying to monetize part of it. So the same logic applies to the other side of the bets. There are things that will make my intrinsic value go up. I have to sell 10% of that. Gil, it's not, you know, it's certainly not splitting the atom,
yeah.
But it comes very, I think, intuitively to someone who deals with, you know, who may have dealt with, you know, portfolios in the, you know, public investing world.
Yeah, it's tough to convey on a radio show when you have the paper in front of you and you can see the step by step. I think it will land. By the way, would you field questions at Magic Rad SF on this?
For any cut out there. Can you repeat that?
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Would you be willing to field questions for the remaining players? Would you be willing to field questions on this at Magic Rat SF?
Oh, I'm always willing to field questions. And in fact, since I first came on 3 years ago, I do get questions every year. People have sent me spreadsheets. Am I doing this right? You know, et cetera. It's a fun mental exercise, I think.
Well, here's my one question. And it's not pushback. It's my one sort of like, okay, would it be better, because what you're doing is essentially going around from sportsbook to sportsbook and making this happen. And it's not an easy thing to make happen. Wouldn't it be smarter for someone to get the cheapest flight they can to New Jersey and jump on like a profit exchange or a sport trade and with much less juice do it that way?
Absolutely, Gil. It's the same as shopping for the money lines, right? Absolutely. If there is less juice, and I think there might be one in Ohio now that it's not an exchange, but it's a low vig book, high limit, low vig. Maybe it's just high limit. I haven't done all that work, but absolutely, Gil. If every, you know, just getting 5 cents on a money line, it, you know, reduces those transaction costs.
You agree this is the greatest contest in the world for all of, like, so many.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And the little twist, the Thanksgiving and the Christmas additions, absolutely brilliant.
It is amazing. I guess in the end, my thought on this for everybody participating is, because there's going to be some people who view this, and you know how math is for some people. They're going to be like, wait a minute, if I'm down to the final 13, like, do I really have the ability to access all this capital to go through? That's why I bring up the trade exchanges as maybe a more realistic option to this. Do you think there's a time that's too early to start this? Like, if this was 2 weeks ago, would we be having this conversation?
You may remember I started it when we were down to 28 people 2 years ago when I was one of the last 28. Anything before that is too early. The commitment, it can really add. You know, if you start doing it with 50 people left and you're only losing 5 a week for the last 8 weeks, you're rolling a lot of capital each week. So I think you need to get down to about, you know, something around 2 to 3 dozen before you could consider it.
Something 2 to 3 dozen. Okay. Let's do this. Let's do will you be willing to perform a homework assignment, Joe? Do you like homework?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely, Professor.
Okay. So Kelly's going to be like a game show host here. You want to, let's pick one entry. Kelly can pick it randomly. We'll give you that entry with its remaining teams available. And we can read this. You don't even have to come on the show. You can give us the homework assignment back, and we can talk tomorrow about how we would monetize it based on the Joe Pita theory. How about that?
That's awesome. That's awesome. I will give you how I would lay it out based on what I think the picks will be this week.
Let's go,
ahead, Kelly, give me
with Bowtie Cabaret, just because I see a one next to it.
Bowtie
too.
Cabaret. Monetize that for us, Joe. We'll talk about it tomorrow on the show.
All right, Gil. Thanks, Kelly. Have a good weekend, guys.
Joe Pita, the great Joe Pita at Magic Rat SF. Wall Street vet, author, all his books, fantastic. The Crack Man is next. Enjoy. Coming back on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. That's VSIN. The crown is yours. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. So many tweets this morning. Steve Cohen, I'm guessing not that Steve Cohen, but a different one. Gil, good morning. Your clip on this from 2 days ago aged like a fine wine, and agree 100%. There's always one person slash group who would not go for a chop. Not until you get under six will it get easier. Longtime listener, first-time caller. Love the show. Thank you. Ray Pierce was reacting to your very low-key funny comment the other day because we were talking about how many female listeners do we have, and you said, Gil, we have tons. Look at them every day. And he says, such nice girls, he says. This is from
accounts are flooded.
And they all have this. They all have the same name on a given day. It's very strange.
I wish someone would tweet at me too with a Telegram link to where they got no where no losing plays ever occur. I wish I could get more of those.
Just to follow VSIN, I hope jury duty was good, Gil, if that's what the kids are calling it these days. Should be good and rested and ready for a hell of a megapod. Mike Pritchard on the megapod today, Kelly. Looking forward to that.
Okay. We had an interesting conversation with him yesterday while you were out about the Kadarius Toney stuff. I would highly recommend you get more into that with him.
You know who had a...
He was more defensive of the Chiefs side of it than I was expecting.
I'm glad you bring this up. We'll read more tweets here coming up. Dan Orlovsky. So, you know, all of us had kind of the same take. Like, what are the Chiefs complaining about? They're wrong. They shouldn't be screaming about this. Mahomes was over the top. So was Andy Reid. They're great quarterback and coach, all-timers, Hall of Famers, but they're wrong. Orlovsky had the four wrongs don't make a right angle on this. He showed three other times during the game where
right.
Toney was lined up the exact same way.
Yeah.
And the fourth time, he's like, why'd you call it then?
Yeah.
Was that Pritch's?
So a little bit, but yeah. That's where I was trying to press Mike on. So that happens throughout the course of a game, right?
Yeah.
That's happening through a course of a game. Aren't there players, either teammates, coaches on the sideline, whatever, that are spotting this?
Yeah.
And then are you telling the guy, hey, like, be careful, you're lined up offsides, or hey, you've done it two or three times already. It's not getting called.
Yeah.
Go for it. Because that's what, like, we feel like we've had that conversation a lot with the offensive tackles, getting that early start, right?
Yeah, they're daring the refs to call it.
Yeah, and it was, I thought Mike's answers were interesting over that, because I think he was more implying that, hey, as long as it's not getting called, you're going to keep doing it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of week. Unscripted with the Crack Man Bill Cracker Burger. Burger, everybody.
Thank you for that music. It really is. That's so nice. You guys are so cool. I'm looking at this thing staring.
Oh, I like the little dance remix part of that with the keyboards coming in.
There. Yeah.
You and it's like it's very I'm gonna knock you out by LL Cool J,
which is
both of you wear a Kangol. It's our little tribute.
I think he's a little bit more out there than me. I'm looking at that spooky express there. Boy, that bothers me. No, I'm just kidding. Good luck to that's the guy that I went to. You know, I was hanging out
yes.
with him, and he said, you know, you want half my entries.
Yeah.
Of course, I said no.
Of course, you said no.
And here he is.
Regrets? You've had a
no,
few?
No, I'm rooting for him.
Okay.
I'm rooting for him. But a little change happened since last Thursday on the show. I have bought into one of the entries.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
There we go.
So, care to share which or no?
You know what? It's Fez. Whatever Fez is on.
Yeah,
whatever percentage he bought in.
I've talked to that guy, too.
We swapped some percentage.
He's a lovely guy.
Yeah. So,
and I'm rooting for him.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for Adam Burke, too, though.
Sure. Well, that Adam is with Spooky, right?
No.
Oh, he's not?
Wait.
I think he is.
Oh, Adam is with Spooky.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. So you're talking about somebody else, then.
I didn't buy him with him. Someone different.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you're the guy with Fez.
Yeah.
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 That's not Spooky Express. Spooky is Adam, right.
Boy, we are in some ridiculous shape in so many different contests. Like, you know, there's so many routes this weekend. We're teetering on the money in Westgate, the Super Contest. We're in the money on the Circa Millions in many different areas. You know, it's not only my 10% with Fez, but I have 10% of Randy. I don't know if, oh boy, am I spoiling this, Randy? Randy went 4-1 last week. I think he's in 30th, around 30th place. And, so he told me that last night. I knew where we were. But Randy has a couple entries in the top 100. I, myself, have two entries right outside 100 where, you know, a 4-1 week, 5-0 week, and at least get you some money back mm-hmm. for the season. So
I was there till last week.
There's so many sweats,
know.
And I was in the top 100 almost all the whole season until 2 weeks ago. So now I was like in the 40th, 50th. And, you know, it just takes one bad week. And want Jacksonville not going for a two-point conversion and knock you from, 80th to 125th.
Yeah. We just had Joe Pita on the show talking about monetizing.
I listened to the whole thing. Fantastic. Yeah. What a segment that was.
Oh, he's
great.
He's phenomenal.
He's great.
I asked him at the end, you know, when is too early to do this? I'll ask it from your perspective. You just said you bought in.
Yeah.
What's too late for you to buy in? Because Fez bought in, I think, at the proper time, right? A couple weeks, 2-3 weeks ago.
When it was worth $15,000.
Correct. And has re-upped since. Now, these things are all, again, average out, intrinsic value, over $700,000. Now you have to be a different kind of person to buy into these things right now.
Oh, definitely. Point. Definitely. And I hate to say it. I know there's like guys in there and, you know, I don't know any of them and nothing against any of them. There's that value. Again, I heard you mention it on air when I said last couple weeks, you know, is this a legal contract? What's legal binding here?
You don't know these people.
You don't know these people.
Yeah.
You know, I've been burnt for 40,000 on Twitter. Guys I thought were friends of mine. I even met them. They even came in town and I met them. But multiple people, by the way. And you just can't do it.
Let me ask you about this. This is from Joe Quicks. Joe Quicks said, Gil, I'd love to hear your take on what Spanky is saying regarding Survivor. So, again, our clip that we put out 2 days ago, and probably in large part to Spanky, but we have like 111,000 views on this. We're in crack territory.
Hey, my man.
And Spanky said, been asked, if I was involved, would I agree to an even shop? He said, the answer is absolutely not, in capital. Several reasons, and again, this just applies to me. Keep in mind, Spanky admits, he goes, I suck at these contests, so we're in hypothetical land. He says, one, everyone else wants to chop. If you want to give me a mill and you all take 500K, then sure. But an even chop is not why I entered the contest. I, being a professional gambler, must use my opponent's desperation and lack of gamble to my advantage. It's not because I'm evil, but because it's in my nature and always trying to get the best of it. Two, if I choose, I most likely have the ability to hedge or guarantee and earn better than anyone left, puts me in a position of power that others aren't in. Three, I can walk away happy with no regrets. If I don't win the 9 mil, my opponents most likely lack this sentiment because they don't gamble for a living. It all boils down to maximizing my opponent's weaknesses. Again, I'm not a greedy... calls himself a name. I'm not another name. I'm just a professional gambler. Good luck to all. Hope the winner gives something to a good charity. And Joe pushed back a little because Joe was saying, you know, the part about, like, you know, the guys being, I don't know what the word was, if he made them nervous.
They don't have
quite the gamble that
they're
does.
They're still going to have to pick. Like, it's fine if it keeps going. They still have to pick a team.
But the point is, I think it gets back to, you know, something that Joe was saying, which I touched on already, which is it's a handicapping contest, then it's a plus, you know, then it's a expected value podcast in Joe's mind. I said that this was, you know, that Spanky, in essence, and this is shifting it into a poker game at that point. But the poker analogy, as we talked about off air, falls short because everybody knows each other's cards in this particular case. But Spanky does bring up a good point that there will be, again, and this is why a chop was always a dog. Every human being has a different perspective on this. And there's just one of them.
Yeah.
From Spanky's.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's, and I think it was Joe that said, maybe everyone get 100,000. Right? Did he say that on the segment?
He did, yeah.
Just so, it, you know, because, listen, it's a $1,000 entry, and that means a lot of money to a lot of people. And it is. It, $100,000 is a hell of a lot of money.
I said $500,000 everybody 2 days ago and then played for the remaining $2.7 million.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a lot of money. You know, listen, I'm more of a easygoing teddy bear type of guy. Listen, you wanna do it? Go ahead. I know I have a better entry. I think I have some better guys behind me. But you know what? To be a sport, you know, maybe you do the $500,000 thing.
Not old Sean Perry from Golden Boy, by the way. His tweet. Did you see his tweet where he says,
"I heard you guys say it."
By the way, I should point out, Joe pointed this out. Greatest better ever. Better misspelled. This is just such a great tweet because he goes from villain to you almost have to, like, I found myself laughing out loud you know, I'm like, all right.
Right. Especially that he spelled better wrong.
Yeah,
so he doesn't.
That's
if he's
right.
He's not even in that talent pool, I don't think. There's a lot of luck involved in a lot of things here.
Okay.
Just to let you guys
know. Of course, was the first point I made 2 days ago, which is, like, beyond what we've come to know about Sean and the contestants, my first point on Tuesday was someone inevitably thinks they're better than everyone else.
And yeah.
Spanky's case, it's about being a better, you know, gambler. What I was referring to was just the skill of Survivor. And the skill of Survivor is not as big as the luck of Survivor, was my point. We'll come back. Dan Le Batard is next on the DK Network. More Crack Man on the other side, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.